That means E.
I do not know what that means.
Let's,
okay, I know what
the
it
music
means.
Means. It's showtime.
It is showtime.
Showtime. This is show number 280 for Sunday, May 25th, 2008. I'm Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and sitting with me is E.
Xbox Live's E.
Xbox Live's E. We're here for the show, weekly show. You know, I didn't know if we were going to do one because tomorrow is a, depending upon when you're listening to this, tomorrow, Monday, the 26th is a bank holiday here in the United States, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
We will not be working.
No.
Well, the service guys will be working.
Will be people working.
Yes.
Yeah. Neither of them will be us.
Right, neither of them will be us. We may be at home on games, but Monday is a bank holiday, so I was gonna, you know, not do a show, but so much happened this week. I said, E,
we need to talk.
We got to talk. Yeah. So, do you want to go through the headlines of what we got to talk about this week? Well, first of all, before we get started, I've got three interviews.
Wait, I wanted to go through the headlines. And you teed me up. And then
I teed you up.
Ah!
And then I said, sit down. And then I shut you down. Got three interviews this week.
Why is the man always trying to keep me down?
We're all going to... we got very topical. You know what? Go through the news. Now the man's bringing you back.
Will you make up your mind?
And then I'll tell you, I'll punctuate it with, oh yes, we have an interview for that. So go ahead.
Okay. XNA. The community features of XNA are now in beta.
And I have, one of the interviews I have is with Dave Weller, Let's Kill Dave, and Dax Hawkins, who is the development manager whose team built all these tools. And they're going to come over and talk about the program, all the announcements this week.
Yep. So they've got some very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. What else? So you know what? Let's just go through it really quickly. So we've got those guys on the show. We've got Trixie on the show. We also have Aaron Greenberg, who's going to stop by and talk about some of the announcements that were made via an interview last week by Mark Witten. But did I tell you what happened when I came back to my office? So I come back to my office after this meeting, and because I have cable TV in my office, it's tuned to ESPN2, and there's like 10 or 12 people on the team who are from Europe and big soccer/football fans watching the game. I could not get into my office.
Nice. So. It doesn't surprise me, though, because that happens to my office during like March Madness and other sporting events, because I always, if I'm in my office, I have them on.
Right.
And then if I have to leave for a meeting, I'll just leave the TV running.
But it was a great game. So, did you watch it?
I did not.
It was phenomenal. It's too bad it just comes down to the kicks at the end.
Soccer in person isn't bad. Soccer on TV, it doesn't translate well for me.
I'm actually, you know, I'm a big fan of it. I love watching it.
On TV? Really?
Just in general. Oh, I used to play it, you know. It's a little known fact. I used to play. Not professionally, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. MLS, Premier League. No. What are we talking about?
Back in the day, I used to play soccer.
Okay. I mean, I played some soccer, too. It was fun.
Football.
But I just, it's not a good TV sport.
How do we get on this? Where are we? We are completely off the beaten path now, and I apologize.
Yeah, you should apologize because our listeners are not used to that. We've never done that before on the show.
So we've done it. We did it. So one of the other things that happened this week was the Penny Arcade game has shipped on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness Episode 1.
Oh, that's cheating. Okay, I was going to make you recite the full name from memory, and then you just do it. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I realize you're looking over my shoulder at the dashboard,
right,
and the ad for it is up and you're reading.
And if you see the ad for it, actually, there's a... there's actually a. First of all, have you played it, E?
I've seen it played. I have not played it.
I played the first level, and it's, if you read Penny Arcade, penny-arcade.com, the comic. Go back last week and listen to. I had Gabe and Tycho on the show.
It seems like it's very authentic to the comic.
Very much so. If you like the comic, you're gonna like the game.
Yeah.
So I played through it and had a good time. Or not played through it, but I did the first level. Had a great time with it and called Tycho.
Yeah.
After I played the first level and told him the audio in it is great. The score, the person they have doing the voiceover, because everyone knows I'm such a freak when it comes to audio, and I listen to those things. I was like,
yes.
Wow, this is really cool. They did a nice job.
Okay, I'll have to go back and listen to it, because I'm going to play it. I mean, I'm a big Penny Arcade fan from way, way back.
Who isn't?
So, well, of people listening to the show, there's probably not many.
So I had another funny thing happen to me this week, and this is not even on our rundown. So for those of you that don't know, I regularly appear when I have time.
This was awesome.
On a Sirius radio show, a Sirius satellite radio in the United States, available in the United States and Canada. I'm on channel 108, which is the Maxim channel. They do a video game each week, and a guy that I, a friend of mine who used to work in, that I used to work with in radio, co-hosts it. And I, you know, so I appear on the show regularly. I just stay here in my office, and we record it, or we do it live, and then it's played multiple times. But he had Uwe Boll on this week.
And this was so good. I changed my schedule so I could sit in my office and listen, because I'm a Sirius customer, so I can stream it. So
it was
amazing.
So it was great, because we had him on from about, the show airs from 2 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 12 Pacific, because it's live. And they brought him in about 2:30 Eastern. And so for the last half hour, he was
on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, I had just had to sit back. I couldn't even say anything. I think I asked him 2 questions.
Yeah, and you'd ask a question and he'd go.
Right, just for like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's very colorful. He's talking about the new movie that he has that's out in 4 theaters.
I love the story about him wanting to fight Michael Bay.
Yeah.
That was just brilliant.
And then getting a cease and desist order.
Yes, that was awesome.
So I talked to him. I'm going to should I get him on a future podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you know where he lives?
No.
I'll tell you after the, I don't want to give that out on the air, but he lives nearby. Let's leave it at
really?
That.
Yes. Oh, then we should get him in studio.
So I'm going to work on that. So that was actually, so you listen, if you listen, to, if anybody listen out there, listen to the interview, or you're catching the replay, you know that it was bizarre.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
So, all right, what else do we have, E, before we get into some interviews?
While we're on the subject, not that we still are on the subject, but Xbox Live Arcade, since the Penny Arcade game just came out.
Last Wednesday.
Normally, mm-hmm. Monday, the day after you're posting the show, we would announce the next game.
Right.
Because Monday is a holiday in the United States, the announcement of the next game won't come out till Tuesday.
So Tuesday morning, look for that. So Monday, just relax, take it off, wherever you are in the world. You can just have fun. And finish playing some games, much like I did this week.
Congratulations are in order.
I finished the main storyline of GTA 4.
That's a lot of effort.
It's even more depressing when you look at how many hours. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was I think it was like 41 hours, 40 and a half, 41 hours.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was. So I chipped through that.
Now, does it count pause time in the game?
I don't
the time
think
played?
So. There's no way.
Okay, because most of the time when I've been playing, it winds up being paused 90% of the time. Because I'm either doing? Like
you're going to GameFAQs. You're going to GameFAQs,
no,
aren't you?
No, I have not been to GameFAQs for GTA. Not okay. once. It, yeah. But I'll have it in my office and I'll like play 5 minutes, then put it down, right. Go to a meeting, or I'll be at home and playing it, and then the phone will ring, or someone will IM me, or the dogs will be hungry, or I've yet to get like a long session where I'm just playing straight through.
So I would like to caution folks right now, because I am going to talk about the end of the game for a moment. So if you have not finished the game...
Hang on. I haven't finished the game.
Okay, I'll be...
Do I need to leave the room?
Yes, yes. E must leave the room. So go ahead and just fast forward. Spoiler. If I could put this verbally in all white text so you couldn't read it like they do on forums, I would.
Maybe you should do it backwards.
But what towards the end of the game, whether you know this or not, you can choose a path to go. And I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Choose your own adventure?
Yeah. So I chose one of these particular paths, the revenge path. And I one of the missions, it's actually the very last mission you have to do. So there's part of it is a chase sequence. Like
okay,
you're doing
nice and vague.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a chase sequence. The car they give you to do the chase has got to be the worst handling car in the game. And I'm like, this is the car they give me? It's so I'm like all over the road. I'm trying to get it and you know, get it all figured out. It was a drag.
Okay. That was relatively spoiler free.
It's just like, you know, all these great cars. I've unlocked some of the sports cars and they handle great and they're hugging the road and you're whizzing over the bridge and around the highway and over the turns and doing the jumps. I'm like, and this is the car they give me? This is the car they give me for the last mission?
Yeah, that would tick me off too.
I was like, what are you guys doing?
I actually have not gotten in any GTA time since the last show, but I did get the time to finish the solo guitar tour on Rock Band.
Which is something I regretfully have not done, nor will probably ever do.
I've been wanting to do it for a while, partially because every time I have friends over and we play Rock Band, I have to put in the cheat code to unlock everything, which
right.
sucks.
Right.
Red, yellow, blue, red, blue, blue, red, yellow, blue. And it partially just because I wanted to do it. I hadn't played some of the songs, and so I put in, it probably took me 2 or 3 hours last Saturday afternoon, and just sat down and just played it straight through.
And
it was actually not as hard as I expected, part of which was because I had originally started on medium difficulty like 6 months ago or whenever the game came out, and I was just, I wasn't trying to get through on hard or expert, I was just trying to finish. So I just kind of blew through that. But finally finishing that felt good.
We've got some announcements around that this week. Do you want to go over those?
We have a ton of music announcements this week.
Why don't you have them in front of you. I don't have them in front of me. Hit me.
I've got one of them in front of me. Guitar Hero World Tour is finally official. So there have been rumors about this for a while.
What is that?
This is Guitar Hero going multi-instrument, kind of like Rock Band.
Okay.
So think Guitar Hero, add vocals and drums to it. And they're doing it a little differently than Rock Band is doing it.
Right.
The drum set will have 3 pads plus 2 cymbals and a bass pedal. The drum pads are going to be velocity sensitive.
Oh.
So I don't know exactly how that's going to work into the game, but they will be able to tell how hard you're hitting them.
Soft taps and hard taps.
Yeah. They're also supposedly very quiet, which will be nice for people who live in apartments. Both the drums and the microphones, all the instruments will be wireless, which will be handy. Wireless guitars are so much better than wired guitars. Ugh. If you have dogs, especially, because the amount of times I've had dogs unplug wired guitars in the middle of a song, wireless is a huge
upgrade.
So now
you can just take the dogs and put them on percussion.
If only. Actually, that brings up, you've seen my new avatar.
Yes.
So I have to throw a thank you out there. Some of the people listening may be familiar with Rooster Teeth. These are the people who do Red versus Blue and a bunch of other Machinima. And they have an artist who's part of the team, Luke McKay, who's a friend of mine. Luke did a drawing of me maybe 2 weeks ago of me playing Xbox 360 with my dog sitting next to me playing with me.
Can you give me that image and I can just post it on the blog or something?
Yeah, it's up on
Or they can just add you to their IM.
No. That's okay. I'll give it to you. You can post it. It's just Luke's a great artist, and he's met my dogs, and he just captured them perfectly.
Cool.
So they're trying to play, so clearly they could do drums. I think I might need one dog on the pedal and one on percussion. But anyways, the early list of songs that they've announced for Guitar Hero World Tour, or of bands, they're going to have Van Halen, Linkin Park, The Eagles, and Sublime. So it sounds like they're going to have some really good music. They're also going to have something called Music Studio, where you're going to be able to create your own music and upload and share your tracks.
Oh.
So that could be really interesting. What I find really interesting is I know so many people that have Rock Band already. How many people are going to want 2 music games with different instruments that aren't compatible with each other and have room for 2 sets of drums and all the guitars? And
there has to be some planning involved.
Yeah. You know, when the announcement first came out, my first reaction is, no way. I've got Rock Band. I don't need this. I'm not going to have another set of drums. Took me about 10 minutes to go, wait, Linkin Park? Van Halen?
Make your own music?
Yeah, I got to have this now.
Check. Wireless? Well,
Yeah, so I'm in. So that's coming out this holiday sometime. The other announcement was from Konami.
Yes.
So a lot of people don't realize it. Konami started the original music game genre a few years back. Oh, geez. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Dance Revolution?
No, they actually had instrument games.
That's right.
Oh.
I can see it as well.
And I just can't remember.
We'll get
the
it
names.
For the end of the show. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But they kind of started this all, and they announced a game, I believe it's called Rock Revolution. I don't have that one in front of me. That's a Rock Band Guitar Hero World Tour style game with a drum set, with guitars, with the whole kit and caboodle. So it's going to be a very busy fall for music aficionados.
I'm waiting for someone to come out with, like, you know, the chamber music edition. You know, so you can have strings and a cello, and I mean, where else can they go with this?
You're going to be waiting for a while.
Yeah. Not for me. Not for. I have no musical talent. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know, there's how many different instruments are there? Think about it. You know, there's the strings and the woodwinds and.
Well, there's no need to have more instruments because I'm going to have 8 sets of drums and 32 right. different guitars.
What the hell?
So I already have, you know, what, 6 guitars or something at home, but it just. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all works out and which ones are most popular with customers. But just from a, if you like to get together with your friends and play games, this is a huge win.
What else you got?
I'm pretty excited.
Is that it for this week, or you got some?
What else got announced?
We want to talk about Ninja.
Oh yeah,
Ninja Gaiden 2.
Take it away.
That as of last Friday, it has gone gold. And I actually got a
chance. Happy joy, joy.
Exactly. So I guess it's gone gold, or in the case of Ninja Gaiden 2, it's gone red. For those of you that have seen some of the videos, it's a little on the bloody side.
Oh, yeah.
But that has gone gold, and that's going to be available. It's going to be available sometime soon. I don't have the release date. I want to say
it's early June, like June 8th, something like that.
I should do a Majors Minute and dress up as a ninja.
Oh, please don't.
Come on.
Oh.
Why not?
You're not the ninja type.
Says you.
I'm way more ninja than you are.
All right.
You could be the pirate.
All right. The what?
Pirates and ninjas.
Oh, the pirates.
I can't wait for Ninja versus Pirate Dodgeball on
true.
Live Arcade.
That's
Where
true.
Is that game?
Where is exactly?
I want to play that game.
So we're gonna slow it down right now because we talked about what.
Hang on. Before you get to that, we got one other thing we were gonna talk about. Frankie's coming home.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
So,
Halo fans, listen.
Yes. So Frank O'Connor, who's been the community face of Bungie for many years now, announced in the last Bungie Weekly update that he is actually leaving Bungie and coming back to Microsoft.
So a lot of people may be confused, like, well, wait a minute. Microsoft, you own Bungie. Well, actually, no. As of early October, right after Halo 3 shipped, they spun off to an independent entity.
Right. But Microsoft owns,
still exists.
We're still here. And Bungie's off doing their own thing. Microsoft is continuing to do things in the Halo universe, like Halo Wars. And Frankie is coming over here to work in the Halo universe.
So it's good news. He'll be the steward of the Halo. I guess a lot of the Halo stuff.
Yep.
From what I understand, I haven't talked to him.
I haven't either. I'm guessing it'll be easier for you to get him on the show now.
You'd hope so, but he's all, no. It's we'll see. We'll see. You know, he's got a lot of work to do. So we'll welcome him back to this family and so forth. So, do you have any other news before I?
No, you can.
Before
take
we stop
it away
and
now.
Go. That's, okay, that's we're gonna stop down now and do some of the interviews. I've got 3 interviews I'm gonna roll for you here, which will give you some information, answer some questions, and generally be entertaining. This was a big week for XNA fans around the internet because the XNA game studio. Actually, how do you want me to refer to it?
It's the community games on Xbox Live with the new XNA Creators Club Online website.
All right. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. It's a big week for XNA fans out there, and I have with me Dax Hawkins and Dave Weller from letskilldave.com to explain why it's a big week. Hello, David. Hello, Dax.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
So I only have one mic, so we're going to pass it back and forth between you guys. So let's talk about what you guys announced this week.
All right. So we announced basically the new release of the XNA Creators Club Online website.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that new website release and the new redesign that we've just done, we've also included the ability to support the community games on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in a beta phase right now. So there's a lot of ability now to support, create, deploy, and actually distribute your game online through Xbox Live. And we're doing this initially for premium members during this beta program.
So we announced this at GDC 2008 just a few months ago, and a lot of this, and now you're delivering on it. Is that fair?
Absolutely. We did say that we were going to do this, and we have delivered.
So there you go. Just 3 or 4 months later. Now, let's be clear. This is a beta.
It is.
So when does it become out of beta? When does the full versions ship?
So right now our plan is, and we've announced this at GDC, is a holiday 2008 time frame.
So later this year.
Yes, holiday 2008 time frame.
Holiday 2008 time frame. All right, so Dax, why don't you tell us a little bit, what are some of the stuff that you work on? Because people may know Dave from his blog and his community work that he does, but let's talk about what you do.
So I'm the development manager for XNA Community Games.
So you actually write the code?
No, I'm still overhead.
So, yeah. So, you're
so my team writes overhead. The code, though.
Okay.
And I manage both the, you know, the front-end team, the people who do the website for the Creators Club, as right. well as then the back-end services that enable all this magic for you to submit your game,
mm-hmm.
and then for it to go through the cloud, magic happens, and it appears on the console in Xbox Live Marketplace.
So Dave was talking about some of the pieces that you announced, but let's go through each of the components and how they work. Could you do that for me?
Okay. So the first...
All the way down to writing a game. So let's go right down to the metal.
Okay. So, you know, the first happens from the... From the customer, the creator's point of view, is they write their game in Game Studio 2.0.
Which is a free download, correct?
Which is a free download. Mm-hmm. The important point here is that we did release the Game Studio 3.0 community technical preview, but the website only accepts 2.0 bits, which we said, I think, in forums and that on our site.
Yeah. Okay.
So you compile the game to that. Make sure you compile it for the Xbox, not Windows.
Now, when you what I haven't... You know, I'm the wrong guy to be writing a game, okay. but you guys have. When you say compile it to Xbox, is that as simple as saying, you know, file, export Xbox, file, export PC? I mean,
it's as simple as putting your build target to Xbox instead of Windows, a drop down.
So it's really, it's that simple.
You create an Xbox 360 project.
Right.
It's all for you. Once you create that 360 project,
right.
when you hit build, it's that simple.
Wow.
And it'll create the right executable.
Okay.
From that, from the menu, you build your XNA package,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually going to have an extension called CC Game on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that package is what you will submit to our website when you submit your game.
So you build it on your computer, and then you go to the XNA.com.
You go to creators.xna.com.
Creators.xna.com.
You sign in,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have to be a Creators Club member.
Mm-hmm.
Once you sign in, you go to create a project.
Mm-hmm.
And after you create a project, you can submit a release.
Which is this game that you just...
Which is this game. Okay. And the reason we have this project release paradigm is that there eventually in the fall or in the holiday time frame, we'll have multiple releases per project. And that will correspond perhaps to different regions.
Okay.
So you need a project paradigm, a higher level.
Right.
And then so you can manage your releases.
Right, of course.
So you submit a release, and then when you submit your release, this is where you actually upload screenshots. If you want a soapbox video, you can attach one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You upload your binary.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us a little bit about the game. And then the most important part is you classify your game.
And what are the classifications?
So the classifications right now are there's three major axes.
Okay.
There's one along violence,
mm-hmm.
one along sexual content,
mm-hmm.
and then one along mature themes.
Okay.
And then there's minor points in each of those. And what we're asking you there is just to... acknowledge what's in your game.
Tell us what's going on.
Right. And
so, because these games are not rated by the ESRB.
Correct.
Which is the ratings board here in North America. What about other countries?
So we're working through that.
Okay.
And we'll have more details on that to follow. But you can imagine the classification system may have to change per region.
Sure, of course.
Right. And we want to be sensitive to those other regions and how you rate yourself.
Right.
The important thing about the XNA rating system, though, is it doesn't attach an age.
Okay.
Right. So it's just about saying what content is in the game, and then we'll let people decide whether to download it or not.
I see.
And these ratings actually show up on the Xbox in terms of the description for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go in Marketplace, you'll see the roll-up value in mm-hmm. textual format in the description in the beta.
So that's where it just pulls it all in from the website.
It just pulls it in, and you can read, okay, this has a violence level 3, right, mature themes level 2, et cetera.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So, right. So you rate it. Go ahead and continue through the process.
It, and then at this point, you can save a draft. And the important part about saving a draft is that you can still edit your project. Say you just want to get started, you're not yet ready to unleash it to the peer reviewers, so you save the draft.
And do people see it? Does the public see it?
They
at
do
that
not.
I see.
It's a draft, and this is when you can actually change things. You say, you know, I really want a better screenshot, that kind of thing. When you're ready to put it to the peer reviewers, then you say submit for review.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the important point here is that this should really be like RTMing your game or releasing your game
right
to the public. It's
gold
not,
mastering
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So don't, you know, please refrain from using the peer review community as your QA team.
Right.
Right. This is not the forum for, hey, I need some feedback.
Right.
Yeah, I know things aren't right, but what do you think?
Okay.
You know, because a peer review committee, their job then is going to go to actually download the game. And this is the trickier part. You have to be a premium member to download the game as a peer reviewer. But then you have to, it'll download to your PC and then you deploy from your PC to your Xbox.
Okay.
So you cannot get games that are in peer review to your console directly.
I see.
That's the whole point of the peer review process.
Got
right?
it. So it's this intermediate step that allows the peers
right.
to review.
Right. And if you're a creator, you're very familiar with how you deploy a game to your
right.
console when you're working on it. It's the same process when you peer review the game.
Yeah, so I just want to back up a little bit here and okay. let people know that just there's people. I have a lot of different people listening to this show. There's a lot more advanced users that know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And there's some people right now who really don't or may not be that advanced, maybe just downloaded my show for the first time. What you're describing is something for the more advanced user. This is developer level.
It's for the game developer who's familiar with the XNA Game Studio and has written a game for Windows and then recompiled it for Xbox.
Right.
Right. And then was able to put it on.
So they know their way around Visual Studio.
Right. And I guess the key is that the the peer reviewer really is that creator intended audience right now. One of the things we're looking at is how to make that more accessible to other peer reviewers who may not be game developers themselves.
Okay.
One question we got in the forums recently is, do I have to submit a game to peer review? And the answer is no.
Okay.
Right. You can peer review without submitting, but you do have to be a Creators Club member.
I see.
And Dave wanted to say something really quick here.
I was just trying to get you the.
Oh, it's just not. He was giving microphone 101 etiquette.
So you go ahead and you
submit your game. At that point, as a creator, you're pretty much done. And then the community will then see the game is in review. And now I'm going to make it sort of fuzzy behind the scenes. We're actually going to validate your game.
Now, what does that mean, validate?
It means we're going to make sure that the thumbnail you gave us is actually the right size.
I see.
We're going to make sure that you actually gave us an Xbox binary.
So it's just technical stuff.
Yeah,
you don't look at the content. It's just technical verification.
No, it's just
verification.
Making sure that what you sent us is going to run on the Xbox, essentially. Right.
Right.
And that it's the right version of XNA.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And But after it passes validation, though, if it fails, you get an email. It says, hey, we couldn't validate your project for whatever reason.
Right.
If it does pass, then it will be put into the catalog on the website where you can download it for peer review.
Okay.
Right. So that's – so I manage also the back-end team that's doing the validation service there. So then available for peer review. Peer reviewers come, can review the game. It'll take about 5 reviewers to get it through all the way.
Mm-hmm. When you say through all the way, what does that mean?
Through the peer review process.
Oh, see.
So you need at least 5 people, and it can't be you, obviously,
right,
or anyone who worked on your game. Peer review the game. And when they peer review, they're looking for things like does the game crash? Is the classification that you put in your submission, is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
If you said violence level 1, but it's really pretty violent, lots of blood, then there's a mismatch there, and you would actually indicate that as a peer reviewer.
Right.
Right. And then we have what we call the prohibited content list. Mm-hmm. And this is just usual no's, right? You don't want to have a game that's collecting credit card information.
Sure.
Right? Or, depicting genocide. Kind of thing. Just things that are not appropriate for our content.
Sure.
As a peer reviewer, you look for those kind of things, and then you submit your review, and your review. And that's a pretty easy process.
Mm-hmm.
The key, though, is you need to download and play the game first.
Right.
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 After that, then the game goes into a processing state where basically we're just submitting it to the marketplace. And then
on the Xbox 360.
On the Xbox 360, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Submitting it to the marketplace and letting it propagate to the network so that other people can download it from their Xboxes across the world.
So that's the point that a lot of my listeners will finally see the content.
They will, if they're Creators Club members for the beta.
And let's talk about the Creators Club and what that is and why you keep talking about that. What is that?
So that's actually let Dave go ahead and field this one.
Okay. So Dave, why don't you explain to us the Creators Club and why I should or should not be a member?
Thanks, Larry. Okay. So let's kind of be a little careful here. When we talk about a Creators Club member, we're really talking about anyone that comes to the Creators Club online site, registers on the site, and that registration is completely free. So you can get in there. You can actually download a copy of XNA Game Studio 2.0 or the new XNA Game Studio 3.0 CTP.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull these down, experiment with it, actually download samples, starter kits, tutorials, a lot of different things. If you really are interested and curious about how to get started in doing game development, and you at least have a basic understanding of how to write code, particularly C#,
it's the first step.
It is a good first step, and you can get in there, do this all for free, not a problem whatsoever.
Okay.
Beyond that, though, when you want to use the services, specifically these community game services that we're offering, that Dax just explained in very great detail. Thank you very much,
yes,
Dax.
Excellent.
In order to do that, you do need to pay or purchase a subscription to the XNA Creators Club online.
I see.
And you need, and it's what we call a premium membership. So when you get this premium membership, it's $49 for 4 months and $99 for 12 months. And once you get that membership, then you can participate in the community games process that Dax just went into a lot of detail and explained.
So the first step is really the free angle is I can download the tools, I can do whatever I want, I can write my own game, play it locally.
On the PC.
On your PC. But if you want to start using all these community features, then you need to be the member because that's the way the process works.
That's correct. There is an interim step, though. If you are a student with a there's a I can't remember, they're with affiliated universities.
And I'll put a link to this on the blog.
Right, and this is part of the DreamSpark program that I'm talking about.
Yep.
DreamSpark will let students get what are called a student trial code. And when you get the student trial code, that allows you to actually locally deploy your games onto your Xbox 360. It does not allow you to participate in the services that are available on the XNA Creators Club online site, mm-hmm. but it does at least let you deploy and test your game locally on your Xbox 360 at home or in your dorm or wherever the case may be. So if you're a student, you're actually able to do this for free. If you're not a student, then you still need to go ahead and purchase a subscription if you want to deploy your game to the Xbox 360. But by purchasing the subscription, you're also able to participate in the community games on Xbox Live that we've just been talking about.
Got it. All right. So all the stuff that Dax just talked about, I need a subscription to do the peer review and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure that and let me also be very clear. People can find all this information is clearly spelled out for them on the website, correct?
Yes. If you actually go to the website, if you
Which
go to creators.xna.com,
creators.xna.com.
And right there at the very beginning is a link to the quick start guide, or you can actually follow the top links up above and you can actually see where it shows you how to get to the quick start or to the frequently asked questions, and you can get in there and launch and just run with it.
Got it.
A couple of things. We just had this discovery yesterday, or our users made this discovery. When you get in and you create your creator's name on the site when you register to become a member, keep in mind that that's a one-shot deal. It's kind of like the gamer tag that you have on Xbox Live. Once you set it, it's pretty much permanent.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
And this is spelled out in the FAQs. Let's get back over to Dax for a second.
Okay, here. I'll give it to Dax.
Thank you, David. And we'll get back to
you
in a minute.
Dave.
So we've kind of, and again, this is all on creators.xna.com. Once you go through the peer review, let's talk about the process, right. And it's on Xbox.
So once it's on Xbox, and this is where we're going to split a little bit. This is the beta experience.
Sure.
Right? So again, even to play the games, and the reason it's called a beta, you have to be a premium Creators Club member, as Dave just described.
Understood.
Right? So at that point, when you, in your profile, you get a beta code.
Mm-hmm.
And this beta code is a redeem code on the Xbox. And this is what allows you, basically, to get the XNA game launcher. So you enter the code in Marketplace, and that'll take you directly to the download. Download that launcher.
Mm-hmm.
So now on your console, you go to your games library, and you'll see in your games library, when you click games, you'll see the XNA Creators Club twist.
That's a new... So like at the very top, you'll see arcade, demos, and so on and so forth. You'll now have a new entry.
You will, for XNA Creators Club.
Understood.
You go to that twist, mm-hmm. and then very cleverly at the bottom, you'll see a Y button that says Show Marketplace Games. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact wording.
Right.
Hit Y button, and that'll take you then to all the games in the community.
So that's kind of like
put on Xbox Live Marketplace.
That's kind of the super secret private area that you need to be a member. That's the
right.
members only area.
And the key thing is, if you don't redeem your beta code, if you don't get the XNA data launcher, you'll never even see the Y button.
Right.
So it's pretty subtle. You don't even know that those
right.
things are there.
Right.
So again, this is the beta experience. Certainly, when we ship the RTM, the actual release version, you know, the games will be available to everybody on Xbox Live.
Right.
Right.
This is just the beta experience.
Right. This is just the beta experience. You won't need to have this separate download for the launcher.
And then that's the end of the pipeline.
That is.
Because at that point, people have, let's just back up a little bit and do quickly through the pipeline. People have downloaded XNA, the game creator.
Right.
On their PC. They've created and played this game, played it locally. They've become a member. They've uploaded it to the website.
Correct.
Then your team has then taken it from the website, and somehow magically, after all the ratings process,
right.
it appears in the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Right. Validated it, put it up for peer review.
Right.
After it goes through there, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, it's out there for folks.
It is.
That's pretty interesting. So it's the first time ever that anybody, any average person, can get a game onto a console. Is that correct?
It is, and we're super excited about it.
That's got to be really exciting for you guys.
It's fun to, I mean, every day I just look, since we launched, like yesterday,
yeah,
I just refreshed the catalog. Hey, what's new today?
Yeah, in fact,
it's exciting to see.
I went up at the end of the day on the very first day, and I think there were already 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, we have about, well, at the time this morning, about 23, I think.
Is that surprising you?
You know, I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
I didn't know if there'd be a huge
rush.
Who
had the over-under? I know you guys were betting, I'm sure.
You know, I don't know how I think the results, it's a 24-hour period, so I'm
right.
not sure.
Right. But what I'm saying is that the
first game did get rejected in 3 hours, however.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
The game was called Divide by Zero,
uh-huh.
and it did do a Divide by Zero. So it was a good test to make sure the peer review community was awake.
Okay.
Somebody
somebody designed it to be rejected.
Right. It was by design it was rejected.
Right. So, you know, things worked out, which is good. The community is doing their job. And
Have you been surprised, both of you, at the creativity of the community, like in that specific instance? Because that's really extraordinary.
You know, we certainly have, right? Yeah. And even in the GDC preview, right? Yeah. Just some of those games were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And all of them were, actually. And so we've been just very happy with the results. And
yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of games, as we just discussed, coming out, and we're going to see probably by the time this ships at the end of the year, there may be a couple hundred games up there.
This is a really good segue here. I think that we're going to see some absolutely amazing games. We've had some really interesting things that have been submitted now through the community pipeline in this last 24 hours, and that's been really cool. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the other places where we're starting to see games coming from or will be coming from, and it's really, really cool. First of all, the Imagine Cup that's going on. We are starting to see submission entries for this for the games category for the Imagine Cup.
Yep.
These are students from around the world that are submitting stuff, and I got to tell you, some of the games that we're seeing are absolutely mind-blowing. They're just amazing, and I'm really looking forward to the fact that we'll be able to, for some of these people that are actually probably going to win the Imagine Cup contest for the game part, I would imagine that they're going to be submitting these games also through the community games area, and that anyone that's on Xbox Live is going to have a chance to really see this amazing work. We also have, and we're not formally announcing this until next week, but I can go ahead and make the plug. We have the Dream Build Play Contest that's going to be coming up starting very soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Dream Build Play Contest will be just for the Xbox 360 only. So if you're building games for Dream Build Play, it'll be for the Xbox 360 only. Mm-hmm. There is a total purse of, I believe, $75,000 that will be split amongst the winners. Plus, the winners may have an opportunity to win an Xbox Live Arcade contract. Not guaranteed, but there's an opportunity for it.
So they could actually possibly have their game made into a full
Xbox Live Arcade game as well. We're going to be publishing a lot more of those details next week. But we're pretty excited about it. So I'm just leaving a little teaser.
Thank you for the tip there. I want to ask you guys a little bit about, and Dax, I want to ask you how do you see? So now we've got these three levels, maybe four levels of games on the 360. We've got the full retail release. We've got the original Xbox, the Xbox Originals program. We've got the arcade, and now we have this cool new level, which is this arcade, or excuse me, the XNA level.
Right.
That's. Do you see people maybe moving up that chain?
I do. I see it as a full spectrum.
Yeah.
Right. And the community games can, as Dave said, I think we'll see the whole spectrum of quality there.
Right.
But definitely, yeah, I think it's a great way for people to sort of start off and see what's interesting about it, and then to get, a good, in some ways it's the top games there.
Right.
It's like having an independent game contest every day.
So in order to submit this for your beta, you've got to use the XNA Studio 2.
Right. Game Studio 2.0.
Game Studio 2. Let's talk about some of the differences between Game Studio 2.0 and 3.0, which you'll support later this year.
I'll actually hand it over for Dave for that.
Okay. Dave, why don't you go ahead and walk me through that?
Okay, so I'm not going to go into too many details, but I'll just hit some of the more salient points. Right now, XNA Game Studio 3.0, the community technical preview that we've released.
Which is a fancy word for beta, but that's...
No, anyway. We actually, we'll have a beta coming up. So, okay. So there will
What's
be
the difference between, and I think you and I have asked you this, what is the difference between a community technical preview and a beta, in your mind?
Community technical preview is not as refined.
Alpha.
You could say it's an alpha, I suppose. One of the real reasons that we do this is because we want to get what we're doing out in front of people and really get feedback. So when we ask people to go out to the Kinect site, and you can find that through the through creators.xna.com, you can actually go in there and give us feedback on that product after you download and work with it. Let me talk to you about, though, what we've just put into the 3.0 CTP. First of all, the big one, Zune device support. You want to build games, and there's some amazing stuff that we're seeing people build already. If you go to zuneboards.com, in fact, they've already gone off and started listing all the different types of games, and there's even been applications. In fact, it turns out that one of the most popular things that people are downloading just to install on their Zune is a Zune clock. because, of course, there's no clock.
Well, that was actually, I actually had that bug logged for 2 years with that team.
Yeah. So so Zune Boards actually has a really cool looking clock.
And so I want to stop right here. So people actually that have a Zune can download this thing and put it on their Zune. Is that what you're telling me?
They can, but what they would need to do is go through the process of also downloading and installing a XNAT Game Studio 3.0,
right,
the CTP. And that's because the only way you can deploy your stuff to the Zune right now is through Game Studio 3.0.
I may come over to your office later and have you install the clock on my Zune. Anyway, go ahead.
There's actually step-by-step instructions for people that are just kind of wanting to know, hey, how do I just pull it down and get it done?
Right.
There's actually step-by-step instructions on zuneboards.com with photo captures and everything else.
Cool.
So the other cool thing, and this is really more for the developers, is that we have Visual Studio 2008 support.
Okay.
So that's the other big thing there. And the third thing really is kind of nice is that we have a simplified sound effects API. So it's a lot easier now to integrate sound into your game studio applications. But it's really kind of a subtle distinction. It was either you used Exact before, and now you can use either Exact or the sound effects API. But the really big one in terms of what your listeners are going to be really interested in is the Zune device support.
So does that mean by the end of the year when you ship 3.0 that there'll be an easier way to deploy it to things to Zune?
We haven't announced anything,
okay,
about where we're going with this. I don't think it would take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's a pattern that we followed with the Xbox 360 if you look at the history of what we did with XNA Game Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty reasonable to expect that we're going to be looking for ways to follow that same pattern with the Zune.
It's pretty exciting.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's like I said, I don't know anybody else that's doing anything like this on a console. I mean, this is really in an area where nobody else is just thinking about it.
We're thinking about making games accessible to everybody on many different devices, PC, Xbox 360, and now mobile devices using the Zune.
It's also a chance for, like I say, people who think that, you know, that they want to maybe dip their toe into creating a game, which I've seen it done, and it's I could never do it. I have an unbelievable amount of respect for game developers because it's hard.
You know, it can be hard, but for deploying your game for the Zune, it doesn't have all the full 3D graphics support in there. So we take out the 3D graphics API part, but everything else that's been in the original XNA Game Studio 2.0 really pretty much is exactly what you see inside of as far as accessibility on the Zune.
Mm-hmm.
So the really cool thing is that you can do 2D games, and 2D games are actually pretty simple to do, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunity for people who are just starting to learn. The doing it through the Zune is really a great way to get very fast feedback on what that experience is actually going to be.
I think it would be remiss if I didn't discuss the fact that the team that built this, all the XNA pieces, is the same team that builds all of our tools for all of our professional developers.
It is part of the XNA organization.
Right.
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
You know, so what I'm getting at is that, you know, for all of the large developers out there for your favorite video games that are released on the Xbox 360, those men and women are using similar tools to what people can download.
Yes, absolutely. When you start to move into the more advanced 3D types of issues, particularly if you're doing like shader development, those kinds of things, you're really leveraging the same type of technology that is accessible to professional developers on both Windows and on the Xbox 360. So it is absolutely true that XNA Game Studio development is a gateway into professional retail game development as well. And we have our team support all of that entire spectrum.
That's a lot. That's crazy stuff. I'm going to put some links up to this. We're going to have to wrap it up now, but I'm going to put some links up to what we discussed, the XNA, the Creators Club, and you'll send me all those links to post up.
You betcha.
And then before I let you go, I usually ask you this, you know, what's your gamer tag? Everyone knows yours.
Let's kill Dave.
And now, Dax, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Do you want to give out your gamer tag?
Sure, it's Road Squid.
Road Squid.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
I've known you for a long time. I did not know.
I just wanted to thank the community because it's just incredibly exciting. And, you know, without the community, this wouldn't be going anywhere.
Yeah, and likewise, on behalf of the community, we want to thank you because without you, with the tools that your team builds, they couldn't do this. So it's symbiotic. So thank you for your time, and look forward to taking a look at some of those games. In my office as a guest this week is the lovely and talented Trixie.
Hello.
Who runs the community section on xbox.com/community.
Yes, I do.
And you stop in now and again sometimes.
I've kind of been stopping in a lot lately.
Yeah, you have been, because there's been a lot going on, and you have your calendar with you, and I ran into you in the hallway, and I said, why don't you come down and let's talk about what you got. So what do you got?
I got 10 Days of the Ninja. Do that in your radio announcer voice.
10 Days of the Ninja.
Nice.
What is that?
So basically, we're so stoked about Ninja Gaiden 2 coming out that we decided to, in the 10 days before June 3rd when it comes out here, celebrate all things ninja.
Right.
So we have got...
Have you seen the game?
Yeah, it's so crazy good. I mean, usually that much violence and blood and goo kind of hurls me out, but I'm excited to play it. I'm sure I'll be terrible, terrible, terrible at it, but
I'm
excited.
Okay, so 10 Days of the Ninja.
Yep.
Now let's what is that? How do people get involved? Who can play? Blah blah blah.
So everybody can play.
Everybody can play.
This isn't. I don't have any sweepstakes or contest element to it, so it's open to every one of our 12 million members.
Right.
So what I've got going. I mean, I won't tell you every single day. You can go to xbox.com/10days.
Give me the highlights.
But so we're going to be playing all kinds of games. We wanted to hit original Xbox, I mean, that you actually play on the black box. And then, of course, Xbox Originals that you can download on Marketplace and 360 games. So we're going to be hitting iNinja, N+, Avatar.
Because a lot of people who don't know this, N+ has ninjas.
Oh, yes.
Little tiny ninjas. Pocket-sized ninjas.
That's a hard game. Yeah. I kind of blow at that. What else? We're hitting Ninja Gaiden Black, Tenchu Z, you know, all of the cool games. DOA 4.
Right.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Cool. What else?
They count as ninjas. So there's a schedule of what games to play. On each night, and you know, a lot of them.
So this is just a community event for let's rally around a specific group of games.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, you know, to keep you from spazzing out before NG2 comes out, because you know people get so excited they start freaking. Or maybe that's just me.
Maybe that is just you.
Come on, didn't you freak a little bit before like GTA 4 came out?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have to be clear. Why don't you explain what's going on here?
Wait, what?
Why I'm distracted.
He's distracted because he's watching the freaking credits.
Because I just literally moments ago finished the game. Yeah. Literally, right? Literally, as you walked in.
He did.
You saw the achievement unlocked. So,
yeah, I did. And now he's not even looking at me while I'm talking. He's watching credits, which are not even interesting.
Well, I know some of the people in the credits. That's why.
Good for freaking you, dude.
All right, let's talk.
Yeah, they have a lot of people named Chris working on that. Look at that.
Well, they're in alphabetical order by first name.
Yeah, I get it. I get that. I'm just saying there's a lot of Chris's.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Can I talk about my ninjas? Or
please.
Do you wanna,
yeah. Let's, no,
should
let's
we
go.
Turn off the TV?
No,
so
no.
I
want to
this?
See this. I want to see this.
Okay. Do you want me to come back later?
No. Let's go.
Jeez. Okay.
So 10 Days of the Ninja.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 Days of the Ninja. So Monday,
when does that start?
It starts today, when people hear your podcast on
Sunday.
So
what if they hear the podcast a few days later?
Well, fine. Then they can still take part as long as, you know, they hear it before.
So they can join in progress.
Absolutely. We're going to be playing different games every day. Monday, we're actually going to do a game with developer with the guys that made N+.
N+, okay. Yeah.
And then for family game night on Tuesday, the 27th, which is also Knuckles Dawson's birthday, I would like to say.
And Knuckles Dawson is, for those that don't know, he's one of our more active members of the community.
He is. He is. He's at roosterteeth.com. He's a good writer. He's a fun guy. We like him.
And his gamer tag is?
Knuckles Dawson.
So, okay.
Yeah. So family game night, also Knuckles Dawson's birthday, we're going to be playing Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday, we are going to be busting out the Tenchu Z, which is a great co-op game with the Gamer Chicks. So I've got about 20 girls that are willing to
Ninja Gamer Chicks?
Co-op your bootay. See, you don't have to believe me. In Tenchu Z.
Okay.
Yep.
That's fun.
Yes. And then the weekend of the 31st... we're going to be playing all the old school Xbox One games. I guess we don't call it that, do we?
No.
The big black box is what I call it.
The big black box. Well, that's what you call it, but I don't think that's what it is.
Well, it is a big black box.
So the original Xbox.
The original Xbox. There are some great ninja games on there, kind of maybe lesser known, which means you should be able to find them super cheap.
Okay.
But you can just ninja out all weekend. And then ladies' night on the Monday, we're going to be playing DOA 4.
Yes, it's ladies' night.
Yep. And then on Tuesday, Ninja Gaiden 2 comes out, but I know sometimes that's a ship date and not a street date, so if your local GameStop or whatever doesn't have it that day, you can join us for family game night, because we'll be playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cool.
Which was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
probably Donatello.
Yeah. I'm kind of a Michelangelo girl myself.
Are you?
Well, you know. Kind of
the statue or the...
You know, when I was in Florence, I was so tired because Video Monkey and I had been up all night editing video and stuff that I actually did not wait in line to see the David. And I so regret it now, but I couldn't, you know, conceive of being
It's one of the greatest pieces of art ever.
Yeah, I get that. And like, I just said I regret it.
What else you got?
We've got just, you know, cool community stuff. You should always check out what's going on.
Xbox.com/community.
That is correct. That is correct. But otherwise, you know, I'm planning some cool stuff with Gamer Chicks and Madden.
How do people get in touch with you? Your gamer tag is Trixie360.
Trixie360.
And then they can also send you an email.
They can. xlmail@microsoft.com.
That's XLmail. Or if you want to send me an email, major@xbox.com, I forward them on.
That is true. Sometime. But if you're going to be mean to me, don't do it on Xbox Live because bad things will happen to you.
Okay.
Oh, and can I clear up a rumor,
Certainly.
Please? Okay. I don't know where this started. I cannot find the source. When I do, there will be big trouble. But somehow the word has gotten out that if you send Trixie360 a series of question marks as a text message on live, I will give you free Microsoft points. That is not the case. I have no Microsoft points.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
No, I mean, you don't do that. I don't do that. There's no such thing. You've put free Xbox Live in your motto. That doesn't work. Just
no, I know. It says in my bio, I'm not giving away. And so my new rule is if you send me question marks, I'm blocking communications with you.
Is that the way it works?
That's what happens now.
Block, click block.
Yep, I see those question marks.
So, but the thing is that a lot of people don't know is that they can keep sending messages.
I just won't get them.
You just won't get. They'll just go.
And they're like, "Oh, Trixie's a big bitch. She never replies to my message."
So don't.
That's how they talk.
Do you have anything else you want to clear up?
No, I don't think so. Is there something I need to clear up?
I don't know. You've got the floor. You've got the microphone. You've got all these people listening. Feel free to. Straighten anything out.
Okay, then. I saw a comment from not the last time I was on your show, but the time before that when I was talking about sending something to the Marines and stuff. And one of my gamer chicks, actually, that I've met made a comment that, you know, Trixie shouldn't act like that. You know, you have a brain. You know, you're not representing gamer chicks really well. And maybe she had a point, but it made me feel really bad. And I would hate to think that I'm not representing the gamer chicks. So
what is gamer chicks? I have lots of new listeners, so you, this is your chance to re-explain it and reintroduce it to some people.
The short answer is it's a social group for female gamers on every platform.
Our good friend Dirty Diva, who's over at the GamerScore blog, yep. she's on board.
She's one of the founding members.
Yes,
she sports the founding member gamer chicks tattoo. Do you know that Dirty Diva is going to start writing a column for us on xbox.com?
I did not know that.
It's so good. She sent me the first one. It's really good.
Good.
Yeah. And you know what the column is going to be called?
Nope.
That's what she said.
You're kidding.
Isn't it awesome?
That's funny.
I know.
That's funny.
I like it. She's a funny girl. She's my friend.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for coming by. And you're always welcome. You know, it's people think that I give you a hard time. And if I do, I apologize.
Whatever.
But, you know, you're always welcome to come in here and talk about the stuff that's going on Xbox.com and all the cool stuff. Because you and I work together in the community doing a lot of things.
We do. And I think that is the killer app of Xbox is the community.
Of course it is.
You know, I mean, I just, unless I'm missing it, I don't see the other platforms doing the kind of stuff that we do. But maybe, you know, dorks play the other platforms. I mean, maybe we're working with what we've got, which is an awesome, vibrant, vocal, fun community.
Okay.
That's my theory anyway.
That's your theory.
And for those, for that gamer chick that thinks I'm being dumb, I would like to say that the Magna Carta was signed in 1215.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Should I add something else?
What is a Magna Carta? So you just totally threw people for a loop. So like, what is that?
I was just showing that I knew a fact about history. The Magna Carta.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
You're familiar with that?
Yes, document? I just.
Excellent.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to play Wits and Wagers with Trixie, just send her a message. And
I do like that game.
The trivia. She loves that trivia.
I will smoke your butt in trivia. That is for sure.
All right, we're going to go, or you're going to go now. So
I'm
we'll
go.
Thank you for coming
entertain
in.
Entertain the troops.
Thank you. Enjoy your USO tour, and I will chat with you when you come back.
Okay.
As promised, with me is Aaron Greenberg, who is the Director of Product Management for Xbox. Aaron, good to see you.
Good to be here, Larry.
Now, people know you, maybe know you by your gamer tag, which is
the BIG VIP.
BIG VIP. And they also may know you by some rather interesting comments you've made recently in the press about some competitors.
Yeah, I guess I've been rather vocal of late. Had a few things to get off my chest, but feel better about it now.
I wanted to catch up with you because there was an article that appeared on, was it nextgenindustry.biz?
Mm-hmm.
And it was last week, and there was with Mark Whitten, who's the GM of Xbox Live.
Yep.
And he was unavailable to come on because he was traveling. And I was like, "Hey, Aaron, can we get you on?" You're like, "Yeah, let's come on and talk about it." So some things that were announced. That why don't we go through what was announced and talk about those for a little bit?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of stuff there. You know, I think maybe start with Xbox Live Arcade. Probably the best place to start there.
Yep.
First off, very excited the fact that Mark and John, you know, we have a whole new management team basically running Live now and the arcade business. You know, without any, you know, I think people have been really happy with the prior management team and what they've done and where we're at today. But this team is really thinking about what the future is like and where do we need to take the future of digital distribution. I mean, it's grown at such a rapid pace now that you know, we're seeing, you know, as we said, people are downloading about a million things every day on the service.
Wait a minute, that's unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, when you think of where we were from launch and just all the different pieces up on the service, and later on, you said you have some updated numbers to share with me, which I've seen, so I'm thrilled that we're going to talk about those later. But
yeah, I mean, we launched 360. It took us 4 months, you know, so figure you know, 120 days more or less to get 10 million downloads.
Right.
And, you know, now we're doing 10 million downloads in 10 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the pace. And, by the way, a year from now, it's going to be, you know, X times that.
Right.
So, you know, so I think the team is really thinking and planning. I think that's important to really plan for that future. And so one of the big things they're doing is really making a money and resource investment in Xbox Live Arcade. They've announced the formation of a new first-party studio.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be more details on that to come, but I can tell you that there's a big interest in developing original content, securing exclusives, working with top developers and creators out there to bring, you know, stuff to Xbox Live Arcade that is unique and original and that's the kind of things that people will want to play.
Right.
And so there's some very big announcements around that. And I think that
Coming soon. Okay.
And I think the fact that that being timed with the increase in the size of Xbox Live Arcade games should give people a bit of a hint that, you know, what you've thought of an Xbox Live Arcade to be in the past is just going to get that much better. It's going to get
now,
bigger.
Now, let's talk about
immersive.
The size increase, because we started at 64 megs, wasn't there? Or 60 gigs, 60 megs, didn't we? Like when we launched?
Yep.
And then we went up to 150. Where did we go? And then we're up to where
we went to 150, right. And now we're at 350.
Okay.
You know, the idea originally was that, you know, we wanted you to be able to even to download an arcade game even on a memory unit.
And the original memory unit was 64 megs.
Correct. So an arcade game, even the largest arcade game, would fit on a memory unit.
Right.
We quickly realized that, you know, by and large, everybody was either buying a console with a hard drive or was buying a hard drive after they bought their console some point down the line, of the people that were connected to Live and using Marketplace. Mm. And so, you know, so I think that as we've expanded and grown and the interest in making bigger and more immersive games, what we've heard from developers is that we're sort of evolving that. And so I think that what you've seen with I think a great example is look at what the Penny Arcade Adventures game did, mm-hmm. right? Which I know you profiled.
Yep.
And, you know, that is a very, you know, large size, high def, originally developed game.
That's pretty funny, too.
Yeah. And, you know,
if you like Penny Arcade, it's
exactly.
Great.
And so I think that, you know, having more, you know, opening up sort of the door to have larger, more immersive type experiences and allowing developers who sort of were working within some set guidelines to expand that, I think will bring new types of games, definitely new, more, you know, better games. I mean, that's what we want, right? So I think that's what people will find.
One of the things that a lot of folks picked up on was this notion of the delisting of games.
Yes.
So let's go down that road a little bit and talk about that.
Well, First thing, just so we are very, very clear on this, is that everybody needs to know that, first, in order for a title to be delisted, it has to actually meet all three of the requirements that we outlined. So,
and are you going to share those right now?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So that means, one, a game has to be on the service for at least 6 months.
Okay.
It has to have a Metacritic rating of less than 65.
And for those of people that don't know what Metacritic is, they can go to Metacritic.com. It's basically an average of all the different review scores across all the different media, whether you're IGN, New York Times, whatever. You can go to Metacritic and look up a game. Movie, you can do a lot of things over there, but in this case, we're talking about games.
Exactly. And then it has to have a conversion rate of less than 6%. Now,
what does conversion rate mean?
Conversion,
I know what it means, but explain it for the listeners.
Is the percentage of people that download the trial and then convert to purchase.
So basically,
it gives you an idea of, you know, first, we're never going to delist a new game.
Right.
And secondly, we're not going to delist a game that is not a top seller, that is a top seller or was highly rated.
Right.
And so in this case, it has to actually meet all three requirements. So it has to have been an older title.
Right.
It has to have received a lower than 65 rating and also have a low conversion rate, which means that it's a low selling title.
Right. So the first two people are going to be able to see those right off the bat.
Right.
First of all, it's 6 months. They know when the release date is. Second, they can go to Metacritic and look it up. Third, the conversion rate, they won't be able to see that. But that's something that we have access to. And so generally, by and large, I get it.
Yeah. You know, and I think the other thing is that we want people to know is that you will always be able to play the games you own. If you bought a game, we're never going to take it away.
It's not like we're going to, if you download it and then 3 years later this game gets delisted and you decide to upgrade your hardware or delete it for whatever reason, you can always download that game.
You will always be able to re-download the title if it got delisted. You know, you can easily do that by going to your download history in account management. I know you've walked people through that.
Yep.
You can select the title, download it again. Things like leaderboards, all that kind of support will continue. So, you know, I just think of it as like a retail store, and it's just a bit of, you know, cleaning the shelves.
Yep.
And any store, you know, over time, you know, will, as they clean shelves, will remove, you know, lower performing, you know, items and,
right,
and replace them and make more room and make it easier to find the better games. And so I think that's the sort of thinking behind this. And I know there was a bit of confusion among the community, but hopefully that clears some of that up.
I think it does. Well, I wonder if, you know, in the arcade, you can share with a friend or tell a friend about a game.
We'll still be able to do tell a friend.
So if I own the game that's been delisted and I downloaded it and I say, you know what, big VIP, I want you to play this game, I can send that to you and virally you're going to be
correct
able to purchase that
those
game.
Those links will still work.
Download the demo or purchase the game.
We're not removing the game from our service. We're just taking it off the shelf. So it's like it's in the back of the store.
Right.
And if you bought it and let's say, you know, it's like you came in and you could still exchange or get it again, show us your receipt, we'll give it back to you. Or if you're bringing a friend and he
right
takes you to the back of the store,
right,
you can still get the game.
But you know, not the back of the store through like the crazy curtains, you know, like adults only section. It's just
not that section.
Not that store.
No, I was thinking more like when you go in the back of like Safeway and go to the bathroom.
Right.
You see all that stuff back there.
You see all that. Exactly. Yeah,
that's where you'll find these few arcade games that
right
happen to
and how many arcade games are there on the service now? Do we
130?
I think you're right. Yeah, it's
maybe 132, or it changes, you know,
thereabouts.
Every week, but
right.
Yeah, it's a massive library,
and a lot of them are doing well. But this is just a way for us to manage the inventory a little better.
That is the thinking.
So there you go. So that's the note on that one. So I appreciate you clearing that one up. What's the next note that we have? But we want to talk about the spring update. You want to talk about that?
Yes. It's springtime.
It's springtime.
So the team, first, I want people to know that, you know, the live team has been doing a lot of work this spring.
Yes, we have.
And so we've had, you know, some pretty big game launches. One in particular that will probably be the biggest game launch of the year, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Right.
I think we've talked
to... Might be.
Well, so far.
Yeah, so far, you're right.
Some big, big, big numbers. But, you know, we'll see. There's Gears of War 2 coming this holiday. There's a lot of other big third-party...
Viva. Fable 2.
A lot of big other third-party titles coming. Yeah, and so, that was interesting. Okay, so, and I think what a lot of people don't know is that the team really spent this spring working on building out the infrastructure and the server support and doing a lot of things to really help the service and scale for the future. So as we go from, you know, we have 12 million members today, but we have to really build that infrastructure to be able to support everything in the store, to matchmaking, to communications, to sign up, et cetera, for as we grow to 20 million over time.
And, and E's team, Ian, the team over there have been, I mean, you know, he's been on the show and we haven't been able to talk about, a lot about this. So I'm glad you're able to, since you're able to share some of it with us.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this explains a little bit if E sounds a little bit tired on the show or if he's harder to get on.
Or he's a little evasive.
Right. They are working really hard and those guys have done great work. And I think, you know, it showed. I mean, when GTA launched, we had 2.3 million people get online in the first week and, you know, literally no hiccups. Yeah. And, you know, at the same time, you know, we heard a lot about some of the issues that that the PlayStation Network had. Right. And so, you know, I think in
To be fair, that's free. They don't pay for it.
Well, you do get what you pay for, I guess.
Okay.
But to that point, people do pay for gold.
Yep.
They do pay for a premium experience. Yep. And because of that, we want to make sure that, you know, that when they turn on live, it just works. Right. And so,
style tone.
That's our commitment to them. And so, you know, and we had one issue in the past and we you know, it was regrettable and we feel like, you know, we really learned from that. And I think that they've done a lot of great work to set us up for the future. With that said, we also announced that we have a DRM update coming, a tool coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a really important thing that we heard a lot of feedback from the community. It's something that we have been working on for quite a long time. So hopefully people know that we have been listening to them. But it's been very, very complex. You know,
technically and legally, there's a lot of levels to this thing.
Exactly. So we had to, dedicate a lot of dev resources to building the tools and get this all to work. We're talking about supporting a variety of different types of downloadable content that has DRM attached.
With different business rules.
Exactly. So, you know, you think about arcade games, think about TV shows, think about studios and networks and all this kind of stuff. So,
and I think I just want to stop for, because a lot of people ask me, well, why isn't this content available in this region? We are just the delivery mechanism. You know, we are not the content owners of a lot of this IP. So we have to do what, for instance, pay-per-view, the crazy rules that Hollywood has for the pay-per-view, you know, watch it in 24 hours, or the television rules or the game rules or what have you. All this different content, we have to play by the rules.
Yeah, they basically tell us what we can put up. You know, again, using the retail store analogy,
right,
they tell us what we can put on in our store, and then they actually tell us which store we can put what. So, like, you know, our stores in America, we can put this up, and our stores in Europe, we can put this up, and,
right,
you know, and sometimes there's things that only certain markets get. But you're right. Our preference would be to give everybody everything.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate. We don't, you know, there's all sorts of legal complications. This company can distribute it in this area. I mean, it's mind-numbing. And I'm sure the lawyers out there listening are like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I, you know, and that's why, yeah, especially on the entertainment side, because people typically sell the rights for that content to
regionally,
a different person in every single country.
Yeah.
So you have to go country by country and renegotiate those rights.
But anyway, let's get back to the DR. So yeah. What the tool is. I'm sorry, we got totally sidetracked.
So the tool, we want to let people know that it's coming in June. You know, the team feels really good about how that's progressing. The work has been done from the standpoint of working with our partners, yep, around getting the rights. So we had to actually go back and, you know, deal with some partners in order to get rights to where. So when you download something to your Xbox 360, you know, that piece of content downloads and the license is stored on your console.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the event that somebody got another console, if they had their console repaired for some reason, if they upgraded to an Elite, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm,
you know, that license would not automatically transfer.
Yeah.
And so, two things we've done. One is if your console goes through repair, we automatically do that for you today.
Right.
That's been happening for quite a while now. But we know that there's a whole other set of people that upgraded their system or had multiple consoles for some reason, and they want to be able to consolidate those licenses all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And so this tool will allow you to do that. So mm-hmm, you can put all your licenses, if you had them from three or four different Xboxes or what, you know, in the wild extreme case like that, and put it all on one console. In a case of somebody like me, you know, I had a console at launch, then I upgraded to an Elite. I can now move all my licenses to my Elite and leave them there.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but I've actually seen the tool.
Oh,
I played around.
You.
It's kind of cool.
You like
it'll be on Xbox. So let's talk about where it's going to go. Why don't you talk about
it'll be on Xbox.com.
Yep.
And you know, it'll be up as soon as we can get it up. It's taken time to get all the rights, but we've got the rights to re-down. We actually had to get rights to re-download this content again.
Right.
And so that is not simple or cheap, but
it's not trivial.
But we felt like it was the right thing to do. And
well, it's not only that, but I don't want to cut you off. But from the legal issues that we just talked about a moment ago, the business issues, it's also from a technical perspective, it was really hard. So the team's been working on this for quite some time, and they weren't comfortable saying it was ready until it was ready.
Right. Yep. So it's been working for any console that went through repair, but now this will be available to everybody on Xbox.com.
Cool.
Next month in June.
That's fun. And I'm going to have a video walkthrough up on Xbox.com when it's ready to go.
That makes a lot of sense.
So people can go download it. I mean, it's pretty simple, but I'll do a video walkthrough so you guys can take a look.
We should have Jen come back and...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
You and I did that video chat. We should do that.
Exactly.
Excellent point. So that's the DRM news. And then so moving forward, that'll make things a lot easier. So what else do we have to talk about? I've got you in here. We talked about the first party studio. There's some cool stuff going there. I want to talk about the GTA numbers. You touched on those a little bit. I want to talk about GTA numbers and then the marketplace numbers.
Yeah.
Which we talked about a little bit. The GTA numbers were rather significant. You've got some of those in front of you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know most of this we've announced, but
they're big numbers, and I think we should be proud of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think nobody really knew what the live number would be like for GTA. Nobody knew what the mix would be
right
between the consoles, but you know, it was 65% of the first week sales, which was for the month of April in the U.S. was for the Xbox 360 version.
Mm-hmm.
And we announced in that same week we saw over 2.3 million people on live.
Right.
And so it's just been it's been remarkable, I think, just the response and to see a franchise like that had such a history on PlayStation,
mm-hmm.
to much like we saw with things like Madden,
yep.
last year, or Guitar Hero, that that they're sort of moving over and finding a new home on Xbox, and mm-hmm. and we feel like while they're doing that, what you're finding is that not only are the games selling more there, but now you have a lot of people getting connected to online, mm-hmm. and joining the live community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a richer experience that they're getting that you never got before. So now, you know, say with Madden, it's like, okay, now I'm getting connected and playing Madden online, or with Guitar Hero, I'm getting connected to this community and I'm downloading more songs, or with GTA, I'm able to do, you know, co-op and then
later this fall,
download the exclusive episodes.
Do you have any information on that yet?
God, if I did, I would share it. or if I could share it, I would. But
right.
No, we know they're coming, and we know that people are going to be very excited about that. And I think. Well, where are you at in the game? Have you gotten?
I finished it.
Really?
Let me back up a little bit. I did not get 100%.
Okay.
I talked about this a little bit on the show. I finished the main storyline.
Yeah.
And have had a great time with it, and it's just, you know, it's no secret. I talk about this in the show. You know, I love audio.
Yeah.
And just the audio in that game is so enjoyable, from the radio stations to the chatter on the streets to just the ambient sound to the birds, and it's just so enjoyable. But the story, I really enjoyed the story, and I love Nico. I think his character is very well written.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff he and Roman go back and forth on, I just think is just comical.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The game, it just has that, like, special sauce that just only a few games ever have, and
right.
What's interesting about GTA that I like is that it's one of those few games that you can actually watch somebody else play it and it's still very entertaining.
Yeah, there's still something there. You don't feel like you want to grab the controller out of someone's hand,
right? Because you're listening to the dialogue, you're following the story, you're kind of part of the experience.
Yeah.
Whereas you know your average first person shooter or whatever, you really want to play it.
How far are you in the game?
I'm actually only around 10%.
Okay.
I've been playing slow and working, unfortunately, long hours. But it's all that I'm playing right now.
And you actually went on the road. I want to talk about this, like a month and a half ago, with those cool consoles, with the GTA consoles.
Yes.
Tell me all those, because I didn't get one. I didn't have one to give away to my community, because all the stuff I get, I give away. And you went out and you visited a lot of podcasters, a lot of broadcasters, a lot of folks, and handed out these cool consoles. Tell me about those.
We did our first sort of like lifestyle influencer program with GTA, something I worked on, and it was really about two things: reaching fans of Grand Theft Auto,
right?
Who if you're a fan, and a lot of these guys are Grand Theft Auto fans, and they don't consider themselves gamers. They haven't bought a next-gen system. Right. And so and they're influencers in their community. And so this wasn't – we didn't give it out to, like, people in the media. We didn't give them out to games guys. Like, it was really sort of like, you know, different segments of folks, but we gave people like radio DJs,
right.
Sneaker bloggers, mm-hmm. Guys in the hip hop culture scene, mm-hmm. in the Latin and Hispanic scene, car culture guys. Like, these are guys that bought GTA in the previous gen, loved the game. You know, would often they would say, "Hey, I don't play games, but I play Grand Theft Auto."
Yeah,
and it's like that.
So
one
that's
exception.
The way they think.
That's how they think.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And so we wanted, you know, to. One, talk to them about Xbox and Xbox Live. And so as part of that sort of VIP, you know, becoming a member of this sort of VIP group is that you got the GTA console, each right. of them individually numbered, limited edition.
Ooh.
Only 250 were made in North America, and we did 250 in Europe.
Right.
And then you got an accessory case that came with all of our accessories. And you got a year of Live and some points.
And then eventually the game. Because you were doing
actually, we didn't give any games out,
right? Oh, really?
No, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we wanted people to get the full Xbox experience, but you know, just as a general philosophy, like we don't, and Rockstar feels the same way. Who we worked with on this, that people should buy the games they want.
Yeah,
you know. So I think there's benefits to maybe saying being a celebrity or an influencer or whatever, but. We don't just want to give people free stuff.
Wait a minute. Are you the person that's responsible when the Xbox 360 launched that gave Paris Hilton an Xbox?
No.
Okay, because otherwise I'm going to give you a swift slug in the mouth.
No, and that's the other thing is that we didn't give them to people that didn't play games or weren't GTA fans. So right. just giving famous people free stuff, completely against that.
Yeah.
So cool. There was a lot of thought to this, and we worked with people that had – you know, agencies that had relationships with these types of guys.
Right.
And, and the response was tremendous. I mean, right. we were all over, like, all the top radio stations around the country, yeah. all the top sneaker blogs, et cetera.
Yeah. You're busy. You know, I get it. No, it was really kind of cool. I saw this. In fact, because you remember, I called you. I'm like, big VIP, what's up? Where's my box to give away to my people?
Oh, you have no idea how many people internally. I'm not sure if that program was good for my career or not.
Yeah, exactly. It pissed people off.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, we teased a little bit about the beginning of this interview, about the marketplace just being enormous. I mean,
yes.
You have the numbers in front of you right now. Where are we with in terms of pieces of content on the marketplace? Because this will actually, people's heads will spin when they hear this.
It blows my mind. I mean, you know, we talked at GDC about how we had $250 million spent on marketplace since we launched.
Right.
But people don't realize is how many pieces of content we have up there. We have over 17,000 different items.
So this includes game content, this includes gamer pictures, this includes TV shows, movie shows in the U.S.
Correct.
So this is what I'm saying is this is all the stuff that's available on the marketplace. 17,000.
Everything from a game demo to an arcade game to a movie to a TV episode.
I mean,
that's a gamer pick.
That's mammoth. I mean, when you look at what's available online, and it's going to be less arcade titles soon. No, they're not being removed from the surface.
We're adding more, and we're delisting others.
Right.
So I think we're not maybe growing the shelves, but we
Got
are.
It.
We are. Yeah.
But
I don't know if we'll actually see a reduction in total titles.
Right. But. No. What I would just. But
it has been funny. We can stop there for a second. Let's just stop for a second because the Death Watch stuff, the right. arcade Death Watch, the people putting up screenshots of
right.
Yaris and right. things like that. I have to say it made me laugh. I mean, it wasn't the intention, but, you know, these people, it's like, it's just funny how our community is and how we just...
They're very passionate.
We are. And to see, you know, people are going to be... It's like a reality show to see
right,
who's going
to
get voted
off the
island.
Which is the first one to go.
Right.
Which is going to be the first one to go. And we're going to have to have... I'm going to have to have a moment of silence and play taps again.
Right.
When I blew it for the HD DVD player.
Exactly.
You know? So...
I'm worried about my favorite, which is Cyberball.
Oh, that's right. It is your favorite. I forgot.
It is. Which... Yeah, I think I tried to host an online tournament and then realized that there was only co-op built into the game.
Oops.
Dope.
Dope.
So, yeah.
So the good news is, Cyberball folks, What I want to find out is the network of people, and maybe mygamercard.net is this place to go, is that, you know, once these games do get delisted, you're going to have to find a friend who has that game.
Right.
To have them tell you about it. So maybe Morgan over at mygamercard.net. There's a feature for you, my friend.
Exactly. If anyone needs Cyberball, ask me, and I'm happy to refer it to you.
Exactly. So the number of items on the do you have the numbers for like the Wii Store or the PlayStation, just so people can understand the scope and the difference?
You know,
if you want to do that,
sure. Yeah, we're at 17,000. The PlayStation Network is just around 600 items.
Okay,
so.
A little bit of a difference.
Huge. I mean, this is like, you know, comparing a Walmart superstore or a Costco to, you know, like your local Quickie Mart, right? I mean, it's extreme, you know, ends.
Okay, now fanboys would say, PS3 fanboys, well, wait a minute, the Xbox 360 got a year head start. So why don't we double that number just for a good measure?
Yeah, I mean, in the first year, we had more than 600 items.
Right,
so,
right. That's a good point.
We were way ahead of that. Yeah. But it's something that we've invested the infrastructure in, you know, and right. So that's part of the benefit of live.
And to be fair, they don't
have a larger community.
They don't have movies or TV.
That is true.
They don't have movies or TV to download, so we would have to wobble that, you know, basically factor that out. But it's a just different experience. I mean, the marketplace has been successful, and I you know, a lot of people have been downloading a lot of stuff off of that.
Yeah, and I think the Wii, the last we checked, is around 200 items or so.
Different box, though, different audience.
And they don't have storage, right? I mean, they have internal, but they don't have a hard drive or anything.
Yeah, when I was talking with the Penny Arcade guys, they were still talking about how they couldn't develop the game for that because there wouldn't be enough. It would eat up half your storage or, you know, more than half your storage.
What do you think is going to happen with the WiiWare thing? I mean, because there's some cool titles there, but...
Yeah,
where are you going to put them? Right,
you're gonna have to slide an SD slot a card in there. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Yeah,
I thought I'd ask you.
I thought you had all the answers.
Well, I have not thought about that one, Aaron. I have not thought about that one.
Yeah, so it's. I don't think we've shared that, but
I mean, because according to you, because you're the one who had that rather caustic headline about they were losing their momentum. What was the headline that you had out there about that quote about the
PlayStation? I said about them snowing this
that got a lot of folks riled up.
You know,
tell us how you really feel, Aaron.
I think I spoke for what a lot of people felt like. I mean, yeah. I tried to not make it. It wasn't like an attack ad on these guys. I was basically expressing my frustration at a lot of specific things that they had promised over time. And, you know, and I think, you know, Sony has had a history of overpromising and under delivering and, you know, just using actual facts of all the things that they had promised. And so, you know, I think I talked to some folks about this afterwards, but, you know, I think as an industry that we owe it to our customers to be straight with them.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, I think that some of the stuff we've talked about, while, you know, the reaction may not always be positive, we're going to tell you, you know, that
there's no spring update this year.
Right. Exactly.
That we're changing the DRM story.
Right. You're getting a DRM tool. We've done a lot of stuff in the infrastructure, what we're doing with Arcade, you know, so people just want you to be straight with them. And we know titles slip. We know things happen. And there's little that we can do to control that. But if we say that and we promise something, we need to start, you know, as an industry, we need to live up to our promises. And I think as an organization, I think Xbox, we have a pretty good track record of doing that.
Right. Well, that's fair. What are you playing now? You're still playing
GTA. That's all I'm playing is GTA.
Yeah.
I want to play the Penny Arcade game.
So that'll
be probably the next thing that I jump into. I've heard a lot of good stuff about that.
Before I let you go, because we're going to wrap it up in just a moment, I haven't had you on the show in a while, but E3 is almost here.
Yes.
We want to talk about that at all? Or just give me a little?
Just announce all of our E3 news?
No. Yeah, you've got the Word doc up in front of you. This one. it's going to be an interesting year this year. You know,
it is.
We're back at the LA Convention Center.
Yeah, I think E3 this year will just be, it'll be very heavily focused on, you know, the big three. It'll be us, you know, Xbox, you know, Sony, Nintendo, and, you know, we've already seen some of the publishers pulling out of the show.
Yeah.
And I know some of the bigger guys, like EA, they're doing a big thing. But I think you'll see less publisher events. A lot of them did stuff in the spring instead.
Yeah, I was just down last 2 weeks ago. I was down in San Francisco with you, and we did our event where there's an Ubisoft, Sega, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to some of those events, too. It was really good stuff. And so I think, you know, it'll be more about the big media briefings for you know, for the three platforms. And, you know, I think the show will be smaller this year and just be focused on that.
Yeah, we'll have, and we'll have coverage on, in fact, I'm starting planning right now for E3. We'll have coverage on Inside Xbox. I always have, always for a podcast, I always put up the full audio of the briefing, so I'll have up that up there. So yeah, we'll have a lot of, we'll have all the coverage. We'll just leave it at that.
It's great. No, it's good because now you can actually watch that. I mean, we didn't have Inside Xbox last E3, did we?
We did not. It shipped December 6th of this year. Right. Or was it the 4th? I think it was the 4th.
So you'll be able to watch it on Xbox. Because I remember last year I was going on Xbox.com and I was watching a lot of your videos, but now I can just watch it from the dashboard.
Yeah, you can watch it from the dashboard. We'll have some cool stuff up there. So as E3's come, maybe I'll get you on the show again. We can talk about that.
Be happy to do
it.
I
know you're busy flying around and handing out Xboxes to everybody but me.
That is not what I do. That is not what I do.
I'm on Sirius.
People think you play games all day. I mean, what do you do?
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
no, I sit in meetings all day, and then I do email all night.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And then I try to play games on, like, the weekend.
Right, which is what we're going to do now. All right, man, listen, I'll let you go. Listen, have a good Memorial Day.
Thanks, you do too.
I've noticed you got red, white, and blue sneakers on.
Yeah, those are my...
You're very patriotic.
Yes. Those are my limited edition Nike kicks.
Yeah, look at that.
I'm a sneakerhead, I'll admit it.
Are you?
I am, big time.
Do you like, so Nikes are your preferred?
Nike, I got a lot of Bapes. I got some of those when I was in Japan last time.
Yeah?
Pretty much, you know, anything.
You going to Japan this year?
I don't know.
I hope I am.
We should go together again.
Well, please.
By the way, this is the part of the show where nobody else is listening. It's
nobody
just
cares.
You and I talking.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares. You and I finally get to catch up, but nobody cares.
Keep up the good work, Major.
Hey, listen, I appreciate it, man. It's all because of people like you, the support that I get from you guys, and it's great that you found time to come out and talk to the community. And because I know you read all my comments on the blog, or, you know, as many as you can.
I do.
And you read not just my blog. I mean, you're one of the more well-read blog guys over here.
Yeah, I go very regularly.
Yeah, what do you hit?
So, Joystick, Kotaku, yep. Destructoid,
yep.
One Up, Games.
You make the rounds.
Spot, yeah. I mean, IGN for sure. You know, the other games spot sites as well.
Right.
There's so many.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and it is interesting to see how people. I mean, I don't. Personally try to, like, what do people say about what I say or whatever, because I know a lot of, you know, as in the nature of us is that when you write something on a forum, you tend to be critical. You want to, you know, so, you know, I don't read into that too much. But when people have thoughtful things to say, or they have interesting feedback, or, you know, it's good to sort of get, like, the general pulse of, you know, take the delisting as an example, right? So Mark did this interview about the delisting of the arcade games. And the first reaction was, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to play my games that I own, or I'm not going to be able to re-download them.
Right.
And there was, like, this panic. And then so...
that because I let's be clear, because I called you. You got the emails, and I'm like, we got to talk about this. You need to come on the show, and that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, and then we just want to clear that kind of stuff up, because, you know, sometimes people get confused with what we're saying. And then other times we make decisions that people don't like. And, you know, and so it's good to hear what people like and don't like. You know, I think
and
hearing great feedback about... increasing the size was terrific, you know. You know, we didn't hear a lot of people saying, oh, 350, that's gonna, you know, take up too much space or be too slow to download, or you guys should stick to your, you know, people want bigger, more
they want better games,
richer games. Yeah, they want better games, and so they'll get better games. And so
we hope
well, we know.
we know. Yeah, that's a good point.
And so it's always good to hear that, and I do read a lot, and that again keeps me from playing video games.
And more importantly, people can also get in touch with you. Your gamer tag is Big VIP. It's all together.
Yes.
And I'll put a link to that, and I'm sure you may get one or two messages, because I know you tend to get a couple when you're on.
I always
show.
Try to write back. My friends list is typically full, but I'll try to boot off some of the slackers and make room for some new people.
Yeah. One of my feature requests is be able to sort by last logon date. So you just put all the people that haven't logged on in 3 weeks.
That's what I do.
And
the bio helps. So if you don't put in a bio and I don't know who you are or where you're from, bye-bye.
Send Big VIP a message over live and tell him you want to come on my show again. There you go. So, all right, man. Listen, Aaron, I appreciate you coming by. Aaron is the director of product management for Xbox, and you're a busy man, and we're all busy, and we're gonna get back to work now and enjoy our holiday.
Never too busy for you, Major.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
I want to thank all my guests for coming on this week. Thank you, guys. Got some questions there. Aaron answered some questions. A lot of people were worried about the arcade games being delisted, and we talked about that. In fact, In fact, E, I think we should just roll into Xbox 101 for this week.
It's very appropriate.
Yep. So let's go ahead and we're gonna roll your new theme song.
We're gonna use the one from last week for another week.
Why not?
Okay.
It's time for Xbox 101 with Major Nelson and E.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice. E.
Xbox 101 for this week, very timely, after your conversation with Aaron, we want to remind everyone about download history. So we've talked about this before, but it's amazing how many people don't know this is there or the uses for it. So go to your dashboard. Go to the Marketplace blade. That's the one all the way over on the left. And at the very bottom, choose Account Management.
It's got a little crown next to it. Did you notice that?
Okay. I don't know what that means. Now I have to go back, and there is a crown.
I don't know what that icon means.
We're going to have to go ask. I'm going to go find, because I never noticed that before. It looks like the Burger King logo.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little crown there. Go ahead.
I have no idea what that means. And then on the next screen, the account management screen, the fifth option down is download history.
Right.
View the items that you've downloaded.
Now, obviously, it goes without saying you need to be connected to Xbox Live to see this.
Yes. And this is a complete list of everything you've ever downloaded on Xbox Live for the gamer tag that you're signed in as.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got all the games and all the videos.
And there's actually a little navigation at the top. You can filter between games and videos.
It's called a twist.
It's called the twist. In fact, Dax talked about that earlier on, so a lot of people didn't know who was talking about with the twist.
It's like the tab metaphor. Tab. We've got tabs at the top of the screen.
I call it a twist, but go ahead.
I don't.
I'm sorry. This is your time.
That's okay. It's your show. You can break in anytime you want to.
All right.
So now that you're in download history, it lists all the different things that you've downloaded on this gamer tag on every console that you've downloaded things on. It doesn't care.
This actually pulls it off the service.
It pulls this off the service when you go here.
Right.
And if your list is really long like mine, it takes a second or two.
Right.
Now, you can go in here and you can get to items that aren't visible anymore through download history if you've downloaded them before.
How do you do that, E?
All you have to do is scroll through your download history until you find the item you want to re-download.
Okay, so you're going to take, for instance, this arcade title.
Yep.
As an example.
And I click on it, and out slides the blade, saying, you have already purchased this item and may have downloaded it before. Would you like to download this item now? And all you have to say is, download again.
Click that, press A.
And it will go ahead and download it if I don't already have it on this box.
So there you go. So that's the Xbox 101 this week, is you can just go to account management and you can figure out, you can just download something again.
Yes.
This is also a good way if you need to clear some space off your hard drive, you can go ahead and delete some things off your hard drive or your memory unit and re-download them at will.
That's right.
So thank you very much, G. So that's very relevant. A lot of people know that. We've talked about that one before, but it just seemed especially timely based around the conversations that we've had today.
Yes.
So it's time for Name the Game, E.
Ooh, last week's was good.
Last week's was good. So here's the sound clip from last week. That one's actually a pretty easy one. That was the arcade title Wits and Wagers.
Yes.
Congratulations to... Oh, boy.
Is this another one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a 300 fan. Or she.
Or that person. Roy Leonidas 300.
Leonidas. You saw the movie. Come on, yeah, Leonidas.
That's right. So he's a 300 fan.
It in leet speak.
Congratulations. You got yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset.
Very
and you know what else I'm going to do, E?
You're going to throw something else in?
I am going to throw. Going to go into the prize closet. I have a copy of the Bourne Conspiracy from our good friends at Sierra. I'm going to give
cool.
them a copy of that as well.
Nice.
So you got yourself the Bourne Conspiracy for the Xbox 360. Obviously, I'm not going to give you another version. and that's a cool single player game that I will send out to him.
Awesome.
Or her, whoever that is. So congratulations there. We're coming towards the end of the show because this has been an extra long show due to those interviews.
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to add here, E?
Let's see. Well, by the time people are listening to this, their holidays will be mostly over. So I guess for those of you in the United States, hope you have a good Memorial Day. Get out, barbecue, hang out with your family. You know,
I bought some new gadgets.
You did? Ooh, shiny.
Well, no. This is actually, for those, we talked about this earlier. What?
Keep going, but when you're done, I have a gadget.
Go ahead. You'll forget it. I'm holding it.
That's a very good point. I have been getting flooded with suggestions for names for my second Roomba.
Yeah, I know. I got some on major at xbox.com. oh my God, we did name the game, but we didn't do a new one. Go ahead.
We should come back to that.
Ooh, we're a mess.
Yes, but I haven't completely made up my mind. But the suggestion that's really got me interested so far is because I've been playing a lot of Ikaruga lately. Ikarumba.
Perfect. Ikarumba. All right. So I completely apologize. I have the new name of the game ready, and I fell asleep at the wheel.
Yes, we should play that.
So this is the name of the game for this week. That is the name of the game for this week. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. You'll win a headset and, frankly, anything else I got sitting around my office.
Yeah, you got lots of good random goodness.
So I will do that. I will send that out to you. So congratulations to our winner for this week, and good luck to everybody who thinks they know what that is or knows what it is. Send me an email, major@xbox.com. The subject line, put name of the game, and then in the body, please put your gamer tag. Now, E, before we forgot about it and then remembered it, and you interrupted me with Ikarumba, which is a great name. That's the name. Stop looking.
I have to look up who that is so I can give them credit for it.
Ikarumba. We talked about this earlier in the show. I'm kind of a freak when it comes to audio.
The term we like to use is audio bitch.
Yeah. I am. I mean, I love listening to great audio, and so I bought two brand new microphones this week. These are the Shure MX-184s. These are supercardioid lavalier microphones, and I'm going to be using those to do some interviews. Not right now. We're not using them right now. But one of the things, in fact, you probably heard during the interview I did with the guys from XNA was when we do interviews, I give people a microphone to hold, and they tend, and you had this problem with me for a little while. When you started doing the show with me, is that you kind of take the mic and you kind of all of a sudden aren't paying attention. You're off mic, so I gotta like move it back in.
Right.
So I'll put a link to the what I actually purchased up on my how I produce my podcast page. So that was kind of the only gadget that I got this week. Now you look like you have something to share before we close the show.
I tracked down the message. The suggestion for Ikarumba came from DVS Device. So. Thank you, DVS.
Yeah.
Great suggestion.
That was a phenomenal suggestion. You also, when we were in the interviews, you were going to find out the name of that Konami.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Konami musical instruments. Just to provide closure in this show.
Yes. So, and it went, of course, where did I put that? Here we go. It's this interview. Konami's Guitar Freaks. Was the game I was trying to remember.
When did that come out? And what platform?
Before Guitar Hero on PS2.
So that kind of really
way back.
That led the way. All right, we're gonna bring the show home now because we're done. We want to get our holiday started.
We have barbecues to have.
Can
hamburgers
I has
to eat.
Can I has barbecue?
You can has barbecue. Barbecue cheeseburger.
I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for making this show possible. They provide MajorNelson.com with the secure and assured hosting environment. And they keep the blog going. Also, CashFly delivers the show, so they're responsible for the show portion of the show grant. You don't like that word, do you?
I really don't. No. You could see it on my face.
I know. I just turned around and you had this like, oh, he's using that word again. But I want to thank them for continuing. And actually, I want to thank you guys out there, the listeners, because frankly, without you, we don't have a show. It's just Dee and I talking.
Yeah, it's like every other day.
It's like
we
every
don't
other
record.
Day. But we're going to get back now because we need to continue working on some cool stuff.
Yes.
And that's all we can say, just cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. We should thank our studio audience.
We should thank our studio audience. You know, it's this actually is recorded live on tape for a studio audience.
That's right.
So. Maybe at PAX this year, I'm going to do. You and I should do a live show.
Now that would be interesting.
Take questions from the audience.
Oh Lord,
I'll talk to Robert. I don't know if that's something that even interests people. What do I know? You and I can stand.
It would interest you and me.
We can stand on a street corner and do it.
I mean, when they have the choice of, well, let's see, Gabe and Tycho or Ian Major.
Yeah,
I have no illusions over who's more popular.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly.
I'd go see Gabe and Tycho.
As would I. Yeah. So you'd hear crickets if you came to see us, because there'd be no one there. All right, we're tying it up right now. Thanks for downloading the show. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying once again, thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or
file a complaint.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye bye. You know what I spent a lot of time on earlier this week after I finished GTA? Have you been to Hulu?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, my God. I got caught up in a Welcome Back, Kotter festival, and I just kept watching them.
Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know what happened. I'm just, like, watching them, and I did that. And there's actually I Dream of Jeannie, which brings up a good point.
Oh, no. We're not going to talk about your name again.
No, a lot of people ask me where my gamer tag comes from. And I'm going to answer you this right now. I've answered this question many times, but for some reason, it's never made it onto my Wikipedia page. So please, somebody go edit and add this on.
You could edit it yourself.
I feel bad editing myself.
Okay.
But when I started working at Xbox, I came home from work one day, and my TiVo had recommended I Dream of Jeannie. For some reason, I don't know. It looked at my viewing habits and knowing that I like cheesy television, and it recognized this bad 60s sitcom.
So anyway,
that's where it came from. And so somebody please add that to my Wikipedia page so they can stop asking.
I don't have a Wikipedia page, and I don't want one or need one. Yeah. So I'm not saying go create one. But as long as we're correcting things about your name.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because everyone always brings this up. No, my name has nothing to do with the drug ecstasy. Thank you very much.
Really?
I get that all the time. Like, is your gamertag E because you like to do drugs? No.
That's random, but interesting.
It's the first initial of my first name.
Right.
So, anyways, random fact.
Random factoid. So, that's my... Anyway, so yeah, Hulu is... I also watch another great show. I watch the Thanksgiving episode of WKRP with the turkeys.
I remember that, sadly.
So if you don't know what that is, just go watch it.
How is it we're both old enough to have watched WKRP on TV?
Yeah.
When did...
Well, that's what happened. So I highly recommend going to watch that. But Hulu has some good stuff up there.
Yeah. You know the TV thing I have to do? And we were talking about this at lunch the other day. I've got to put a bigger hard drive on my new DVR.
Yeah, you've been talking about that forever.
So I tried. So...
Try harder.
For people who don't know the story, I upgraded a little while ago to the new DirecTV HD 21 DVRs that they support the MPEG-4 encoded content, so I get a ton more channels in HD now. It's like close to 100. It's great, but because I'm recording everything in HD now, the 300 gig hard drive fills up really fast.
Right.
So it's not officially supported, but there's an eSATA port on the back of these units, and you can just plug in an external hard drive, and you don't have to crack the box open and void the warranty. Boom, you have more storage space.
It's just you're off. You actually have a new set of storage space. It doesn't extend it.
Right.
Like on my TiVo, it extended
it. It replaces the internal hard drive.
Right. On my TiVo, when I did that, it actually just extended it.
Right.
So
I went to Costco, and I bought a 1 terabyte Western Digital external drive. No worky.
Why not?
And I went and dug and dug and dug, and apparently the bridge chips that companies use to, like, make these drives work over an eSATA connection, there's some of them that just don't get along with this particular DVR for whatever reason. So I now have an extra external hard drive for backing things up and need to go buy another one to...
So you don't know what the right one is to buy now?
I do now. Okay. Haven't actually gotten around to buying it yet. But I've missed a bunch of TV episodes lately because they've scrolled off the back of my DVR.
Right.
Because when everything's recording in HD, 300 gigs does not go very far.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
speaking of that, but not really.
you say that like it's news.
Did you see? I don't know if speaking of, we talked about Inside Xbox in the main part of the show, but we also earlier last week put up the Inside Xbox of me aboard the Northwestern.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah,
from
yeah.
Which is one of the boats, one of the vessels on Deadliest Catch.
Yes, from which is on Discovery HD and looks gorgeous.
Right, that's where I was going with this. So yes. I'm trying to get Sig on the show. He and I were exchanging emails. He may come by the office. Sig in my office. Right here in my office. Right there in
which
the cherry.
Which would be amazing.
Of course, there's no smoking in my office, so I don't know how long that'll last because he smokes like a chimney. But it was great because when I went aboard the Northwestern, now I had talked about recording this episode for Inside Xbox a month ago.
Right.
And I finally got around to doing it, or finally got around to airing it, because we were going to air it when it got closer to when the game launched.
Right.
Which is launching when the next month or so.
It's like 2 weeks from now, something like that.
Apparently they have really good water.
Well, it makes sense. It should have good water effects.
Should have good water.
Yeah. Hopefully the good crab effects, too.
And then this is, so I'm going to try to get Sig on it. I've got a couple of guests. That's a little peek behind the curtain. That's Sig for an upcoming show. I've got another very interesting guest that I'm working on that I'm going to call next week and see if I can get on the show. And I'm not going to say his name, but you'll know who he is. That's all I'm going to say. Just leave it at that.
Okay.
So, Yeah, mystery. I like mystery.
Is this a guest from TV?
Nope. Movies? Not gonna say.
Okay, you're gonna tell me off the air, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
So
as long as I get to know, I'm good.
Yeah, as long as you get to know. All right, we're wrapping up the show now because this is the after show. This is the end of the show portion because as I said, E and I need to get some work done.
Oh, that's right. We always need to get work done.
We always need to
there
get work done.
There is no shortage of work.
Mm-mm.
And in a way, that's a good thing because we have 12 million customers out there wanting things.
Right. Plus, even more now. I'm sure it's growing. Grows every day.
12 million and change.
Right. 12 million. It's kind of like that ticker in Times Square that keeps track of the national debt.
Except I don't know that we can
except
get
except we're going up.
Fast.
We're not going down.
Yes, exactly.
That's the difference. All right. We'll talk to you guys hopefully next week. Later.
Have a great week, everyone.